All right, y'all, it's spring, and you know what that means. It's time to start planning our summer festival traveling. Yep, it's time to get into my Airbnb bag cross-country, a.k.a. Time to visit my homes all across the country. And you know what I never think about? Why not list my own spot on Airbnb and host some folks at my house? I mean, my house is cute. Yes, let's make money while we're spending money. Just trying to help you out, man, because your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio.
What's up? What's up? What's up, y'all? This is Questlove. Welcome to another Questlove Supreme. As you know, we're doing these special episodes in which each Team Supreme member interviews a person they're passionate about. Sugar Steve sort of kicked it off with a two-part, incredible two-part conversation with one of his musical heroes, Elvis Costello, that we did at Electric Lady Studios. And Corus Fonte began his special solo session with singer-songwriter Eric Roberson. And these men are friends. They made an album together. And it's an excellent look into the lives of two artists. And if you haven't heard part one, please check it out, because this is part two from Fonte and Eric Tickalero. Only on Questlove Supreme. All right, y'all, enjoy.
What was the record for you that, as an independent artist, you know, because you have your moments, so you have some records that, like, will go all the way off, and then you have some to just be like, all right, this did cool. What was the record for you that, like, kind of was the one where you was like, okay, I think I got it? Because I can tell you what it was for me as a fan, but I don't know what it was like for you on the business side. For me, it was Left. And I ain't even saying that just because I was on it. But, like, Left, I mean, I got Vault 1.5. That was the first record I ever bought of yours. Gotcha. And I actually got that one before I got Esoteric. I was in Chicago. We was on a Little Brother tour stop. And we went to, it was that Virgin Megastore that used to be in Chicago, like that big Virgin Meg store. And I just saw your joint, Eric Roberson, and I knew you from the Jazzy Jeff album. And so I was like, oh, he got an album. I was like, oh, all right, I copped this. And I bought that, and I played, you know, the first record, you know, is She Couldn't Hear Me over the music. And I was just like, oh my God. And like, I ran that whole record. That record got me through that tour, you know what I'm saying? And so that was the first one. And then when I saw that one and I saw it was produced by Redhead Kingpin, I was like,
Redhead Kingpin.
What? Like, how did that come about?
Monster. First of all, Redhead, one of the most talented producers, visionaries I've ever even been in a room with, right? And I'm honored that he even allowed me to do that song with him. But I would tell you, Couldn't Hear Me Over the Music was probably the song that probably like changed everything. And then from there, it was able to grow, right? So, gotcha. You know, here everyone's like, that's Eric Roberson, the songwriter. And truth be told, even before that, like when I was doing songs off of Esoteric and off of like when I was doing the Vault album, a lot of the times playing, when I played the songs or when people heard the songs, they were like, can we buy them? The Vault was a heavy draw the line in the sand. I'm not selling these songs. Like it was like, you know, and truth be told, no. So it's Vault Volume 1.5. Why is it that? Because Volume 1 had Hold On, which eventually went to Dwelle.
I wanted to ask you too. Yeah, like so that, because I love that fucking song. Dwayne Bassiani, the producer.
Yeah.
What's the deal with him? Like, how did you guys know each other?
Went to college together, man. We met.
Okay.
I was walking into the Drew Hall at Howard University freshman year with a keyboard under my arm. He was like, "Yo, you do music?" And I was like, "Yeah, like, I do too." And he came to my room, and I think he was my roommate freshman year. Like, it was just like, I had this little small room by the size of this chair I'm sitting in. And it's like, everybody saw me walk into that dorm room with a keyboard and like some little minuscule equipment. And it was like, oh, it's on and popping in this room. Like, my room was never empty. People would just work on music. And guess what? It's an honor that there's still a lot of Dwayne Bassiani's on my new album that we just put out. And,
yes, indeed.
You know, with Jermaine Mobley and, you know, so many brothers, Tracy Lee, so many cats I met when I got there and just started bonding with, that we still do music, you know, to this day. But yeah, that was just right with homies. But the first album eventually had to be changed because, yeah, I was heavy into songwriting. Carl Thomas, I wrote Rebound, was on
Rebound. One, it was on the second.
I wasn't Carl, so it was like, okay, let's change this up. 1.5, and then from this point on, like, this
it's
is
all mine. Right?
This is it now. I'm not selling anything. You're not gonna hear no problems, no whatever, whatever. I think Volume One had one time with Jill Scott on it and stuff like that. So it was like, so the boom. But then
was previous cats, was that on the Vault?
No,
one,
no,
or was that okay?
No, previous cats was I had never released it. Previous cats I had just played for. I wrote it in college with Jermaine Mobley, but I had played it for music. Just a demo of it. And interest enough, before he ever had a record deal, and he was like, oh, I want that for my second album. I was like,
wow.
Like, what? You ain't even signed on your first album yet. Like, he gets signed, and it was like, yo, remember that previous cat? No, that's my second album. All right, cool, man. Shoot your shot. He puts the album out. Of course, he comes, Music Soul Child.
It goes off. Uh-huh.
And then sure enough, he called me like, hey, yo, I'm starting my second album. Yo, you still got that previous cat song? I was like, yo, you different, man. you different. I was like, yeah, and we recorded. But I don't know why I never put that song, because me and Jermaine Mobley worked on a lot of records. He's on that he's on that Vault album. But for some reason, I think, you know what, real talk, by the time I'm starting to release the records, and I think that's just the songwriter in me. Like, once Music said, I like that song, even if I wanted it on my second album, I was like, this is for Music now. I like probably never even considered it for myself, which is probably why it was not on the Vault record.
It's funny you say that. I'm the exact same way. Like, for me, if someone is speaking for it, like, our mentality in our camp is that there's always another song. So if we write something and they like, yo, I want it, it's like, all right, cool, it's yours. And we'll just sit it. It's whenever you're ready for it, because we can always make something else. So the Vault 1.5, that was, you know, you say that was the one that kind of, you know, that was kind of line in the sand. And then Left, for me, that was the moment when I saw, because, you know, I was just a fan. So when you hit me that night, when you came to Jersey, we went to your crib, I was just like, all right, I'm just kicking it with one of the homies. Like, I was not aware. I mean, I knew your catalog. I knew, like, your writing and stuff. But, you know, I'm just like, man, I'm just kicking it. This big bro, I'm just kicking it.
Yeah.
But when Left came out, and when I saw the response that, like, Ben and Love got, and I saw it was people hit me like, yo, I heard you on Eric Robinson's new album. And I was like, oh, like, this dude, like, oh, wow. Like, he got people like really out here. You know what I'm saying? That was from my experience. That was, you know, from my vantage point. When that record came out, I just saw, you know, just the people that were hitting me. I mean, it really put a lot of eyes on me that I did not expect at all.
Well, probably vice versa. I think, you know, our relationship, just in general, every time we did a song, I think it definitely boosted me. And if it boosted you, that would be great.
Nah, it did. Well, it did.
You know, I think Left, everything was a growing lesson. You know, right after that, we did Music Fan First, and that's when we started getting nominated for Grammys and stuff like that. So,
we have to note, because all our listeners, Arrow and I have the honor of losing the same Grammy to Indie Ari.
Right. Thank you, India. Thank you for submitting your song and beating out me.
Said,
and
both my asses to the crib. Yes.
Right, right. And so, you know, it was just different. Everything was just different levels. It was like, it was constantly growing. It was just like, you know, for me, and I'll be honest with you, I mean, I probably kept my head down and just worked so much. I probably didn't spend much time like acknowledging the groundwork that was being laid and like how much things were moving, you know. I just remember being a struggling artist, and then one day not struggling, one day, like, you know,
man, listen, Listen, we talk. I remember us having that conversation during Tigolero, where it's just like, yeah. Listen, man, I'm finally at a point in my life where I'm making the music I want to make, and I'm not fucking broke.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's it, you know? It. Whatever you get on top of that is gravy, you know what I mean? But I certainly remember those conversations. When you did, it was Music Fan First, the Box album, I want to specifically ask you about that one. You did a record, which is, like, one of my top five Arrow records. It might be top three, I don't know. But wow. Your record with the Just Imagine with King... Oh my God. I was so mad when I heard that record. Yes. I was like, oh my God. Please talk about Paris and Amber. Man, I just love them to death. And, you know, we've all been longtime supporters of them. Yeah.
Well, you know, I want to make sure I say it on this platform too, because it's very important. It's something I've been talking about, especially with my students. So, you know, I teach at Berklee College of Music in Boston. And one of the things that I learned when I got there was like how many female musicians or female artists have been talked out of their greatness, man. Out of ignorance of men, out of ignorance of just surroundings of just like the fact that like that we should be shocked that a female could make a dope beat, right? Like how insulting,
right?
Like, yo, you made that beat? Like, yo, you a female, you made a beat like that? It's almost kind of like, you know, it's the ignorant statements that we give.
It's like, he speaks so well or some shit. It's like,
right. you speak so well but as a black person. Like, what do you mean by that? Right. You know, so like, I'm really dedicated to try to change that character, that the situation. But let's say, even before I learned of the ignorance, I was always one, if you dope, you dope. Right.
Period.
And male, female. Pair, so you look at the history of my work, whether who's been on stage with me, who I've done songs with, whatever. If you dope, you dope. Whether you a female, male, whatever. Right. I was in L.A. My wife had got tickets with her girlfriend to go see Oprah's her last show or whatever. Mm-hmm. She was in L.A. and they got tickets in L.A. So we had just had my first son. I'm in L.A. We had some Mexican restaurant. I'm really there just babysitting. I got my kid and my wife, and this young lady walks up and goes, can I take a picture? You know, I'm a big fan of your music. I'm like, no problem. Yeah, sure. So we take a picture. And then while we're taking the picture, she says, you know, I just did an album with one of my sister and a good friend of mine, and I produced it and mixed it. And I was like, oh, word. Okay, cool. I said, can I buy it? Can I buy it from you right now? She's like, no, I'll give it to you. No. I'm going to buy it from you. And she gave me something. I gave her a $20 bill, and she gave me it. And then I noticed it was only three songs. And I said, damn, I just paid $20 for three songs, right? But I was like, it's all good. It's all love, right?
Dude, that's some track source prices, nigga.
Right. But I was like, cool. So, but just basic, I was like, all right, what's your name? And she said, her name's Paris. And I was like, all right, cool. And group's named King. I was like, all right, cool. This is great. And, yo, listen, my information, this, that, and that. Just sewing into it. Like, yo, this seems dope. Like the other album cover, whatever. We get in the car. And the first song has this like drum beat intro. And I remember this went, whatever it did, paused it. Exactly. When that part even came in, I stopped it. My wife would tell you, I looked at it, I said, this is about to be incredible. Just off the drum intro. I stopped it. I was like, get ready, because I just realized this is something different here. This is about to be incredible. So we press play, and I mean, I could not stop listening to this music. It was just the soundtrack for whatever. So I call her back like, oh my God, this is incredible. And then I remember Prince calls and Erykah Badu calls. And like, I remember like just hearing her going, oh my God, we're getting these calls. And then boom, now we all know King as King. And it's an honor to, I called her and was like, yo, I want you to produce a song on my album. Like, I want you to produce, not because you have dope female, not whatever, yo, because you dope. Period.
And, listen.
And I want y'all on it. Like, I want y'all on it. And I think the world knows King clearly now, but I was honored to be like, yo, everybody, this is King. Like, you know, like, you know, I want y'all to shine some light on this, and I want to write a check to this young lady. Who's wearing this hat as a producer on my record. Like, you know, it was like, let's really do it. And it came out as a killer song, Just Imagine. As well as like Keep It Really 100, it's one of the rare songs on one of my albums that I did not write. if not the very first one. Like she wrote it, she produced it. It was like, no, like, and I, it's like, it wasn't a statement. It's just, yo, it's dope. It's like, listen, I don't need to write it. It's fire, the track's fire. I was like, this is, I want this. You know what I mean? So, and I mean, she's still like, still one of my favorite producers.
Oh man, yeah. I love them to death. Like, yeah. I was so happy to see them, like, you know, playing with Coldplay. It was just like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me? Like, I mean, so happy for them, man. Big ups to King. Yo, what's up? This is Fonte Gallo from Team Supreme. Black representation in media is very important to me. I think it's important to have our stories told by people who look like us and who have shared in our common experiences. Some of my earliest influences were Donnie Simpson. I would also say Tom Joyner, Angela Stribling, Sherry Carter. They were just people who told our stories with a lot of class and dignity and were big inspirations to me. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast, The Center Black Voices. It's NPR Noir. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
All right, y'all. You know what season it is. 'Tis the season for spring breaking and planning our summer travel. And if you're like me, you're already in your Airbnb app trying to find which spot is right for you. Now, listen, while I'm looking to spend all this money, what I'm not doing is thinking about making money with Airbnb. See, you got to change your mind state. Make the money while you're spending the money. How, you say, Laia, do I make the money? Well, you host at your house. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, my whole house? Well, no, you don't have to do your whole house. I mean, you could do a room or, you know, do the whole house. So make some money while you're spending some money this summer. I'm trying to tell you, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I wanted to talk to you about, go back to Picture Perfect, because I will never forget at that time, it was, you know, kind of going back to the, you know, with the label things happening, that record was about to be out of here. And then what happened?
So we got distributed through E1, and that's when Shadow was there. So Shadow was like the main radio. And the main reason, I think, you know, we going from Music Fan First to like, all right, what? How do we follow up? Like these Grammy nominations that we losing to India. The second one, I lost to CeeLo. Shout out to CeeLo. And it was like, well, why don't we do this situation? And at that point, you know, you did this record with Anthony David and Algebra. That joint went crazy, number one.
Yeah, we did the Forevermore record,
Forevermore, and it was like, it seemed like a good spot. And then it's just, once again, my whole thing is like, just stay on your path, man. Like, just stay on your path, keep doing. And then, so here we go doing this thing, because it seems like with this Shadow and Radio and stuff like that, Shadow leaves, and it just like, there was no momentum. There was no momentum. But mind you, even with that, Picture Perfect was a huge record for me. It was a really impactful moment to me, but it was also a moment where I was like, it really anchored us into like, we really don't need these other companies. Like, we probably would have made,
bruh,
Picture Perfect would have probably arguably been bigger if we just did everything ourselves.
If it was
like
just
completely
us.
100% ourselves. Like, you know, we coming off this thing. And so it was the only time where I technically had muscle, if you want to call that muscle. And it was like, we actually did less than what I think my actual team would have done if we controlled the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? But it was like I said, it was still a, I can't get off stage without singing the song.
You ain't making it out of the building if you ain't saying that. It's not happening.
But yet, when you look at like the album before that, which we put everything together for it, you know, we can't get off stage without singing Dealing. We can't get off stage singing, you know, certain things. So it was one of those things where it's like, yo, you doing all right? Like, stay on your path, you know. And you said something not too long ago on I think you was talking on IG, and I think you were like, it never goes wrong. Like when it's like, when it's just me doing it, or when I, like when we,
oh yeah, betting on yourself.
It was just anchoring in. It was like, man, you know, I'm fine. Like, mind you, I always tell everybody, completion is the most important word in the music business. It's like, it's the difference between who wins and who loses. Yo, my company at now, we are celebrating 21 years now, right?
Talk that shit, bro. Yes, yes.
And we're not celebrating it because we successfully did everything right. We completed everything we tried.
Yeah, and the thing, and let's be clear about something. 21 years, because I want to make this, you know, this specification. 21 years as independent R&B artists. Like, people have no idea. You know, like when Dame Dash, when he was like years, you know, decades ago, when he was like, you know, selling rap is like selling crack, but like selling R&B is like selling coke. It just requires a different, you know, when he was talking about, you know, the Chris John album and why it didn't really go on Rockefeller. And, you know, and I've never sold drugs a day in my life, but I understood what he was saying when I got into the business, because I can be, you know, hip hop. Like, I'm sitting right here in my hoodie and like sweatpants. I can take a selfie right now and be like, this is the cover of my new album. And as long as I'm spitting on it, like, no one will care. But R&B, you do not have that liberty. Like, the look got to be right. Like, R&B is a money game, bro. And to do it for 21 years, I mean, that really is a testament. And I want you to speak to just the challenges of that, just so some of our listeners and some, because, you know, we have a lot of artists that listen to the show and kind of tap in just for, you know, for different game.
Right.
So just talk to them about your, you know, how you're able to make it work without having that, you know, 100,000 or whatever to spend on a video, or just to be frivolous. You know, how do you make that work?
I think the difference really comes down to is, the first thing that separates in R&B was quality. So the first obstacle we had to show was like, yo, this is of the same quality, right? So immediately think
facts.
Hip hop independently or major is the same. It wasn't looked at. Yo, if you can spit, if the beat's fire, it's cool. We accept it. With R&B and soul music, if it wasn't a major, you for some reason looked at it like this is less. This is not
yeah,
effort was put in. You're like, no.
Because you could tell. Yeah, you could tell. Like, you could always see that artist where, like, okay, they have a major album, and it's like, okay, this is the major album. But then they get off the major, and they put out something they self, and, like, the cover looked like fucking clip art. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like,
right.
It's just the presentation is just all the way. It's not up to par. You know what I mean?
I think one thing that I've been very fortunate also, and I got to say that, is that, you know, we got Dre and Vidal on records when they're working on Usher and Music and Jill, and they're working on my record. We got Rich Harrison when he's working on Beyonce, but yeah, he's working on my record. You know what I mean? As well as mixed with my brother B-Jazz and, you know, just Aaron Harden from my band. There's different people. Yes, once again, Aaron, if you're dope, you're dope. Whether you're a super producer, Grammy Award, whatever, or you just a homie I met in a house band in Florida, if you're dope, you're dope. I have no problem with working with whoever, right? But yet at the same time, it has to move. Like that whole thing, chasing goosebumps, means everything. Like for me, that's the only rule in the studio. Does it give you goosebumps? But that same thing with the album cover. The album cover got to make you go, oh my God, that's crazy. I wish I thought of that. Or, you know, that's crazy. You know, so the first
thing. Speaking of album covers, we cannot forget, man, we lost a mutual friend in the past year in Fave. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Fave is the brother. He did the Mr. Nice Guy album cover. He, podcaster, singer, producer. Fave had a hot sauce. Like Fave. I mean, y'all can think I'm a Renaissance man. Fave was a Renaissance man. He had a bow tie company.
No, dude was it's crazy because, you know, and it was tough. That was tough losing Fave, and we miss him truly. But he's been a graphic designer for me. And it's crazy because, like, he did the Mr. Nice Guy album cover. He designed multiple t-shirts. I put out a Christmas card every year. Like a growing Christmas card, an animated Christmas card.
He would do like that.
Right?
The pug named Fender.
Based off his. And then, but then he also produced a music for me. He's shot photography for, I mean, he's worn so many hats. He's been a part of my team and just well as the entire movement. He's worn so many hats of like I said, whether it was the sauce he was cooking with a bow tie company, you know, and even that, it was like when he made the bow ties, like that was Demo's lane. Demo was the bow tie guy. So out of respect, was like, yo, I'm gonna pass that off to Demo. You rock with that. But the bow ties was killing. Like, so he's worn so many hats. And, you know, this was tough. Like, you know, I lost a lot of good friends in during the pandemic that were very intricate to like what we do. And Fave was one of the people, man, where like, you know, this last Christmas was tough. Cause guess what? He would be making this Christmas card.
We've been doing the card. Yeah.
And then as we're going into the album and figuring out how we're going to make the new t-shirts or the graphic, he's the first call, you know, and a big up, you know, I will say this, I make sure I say it. Cause Jarrell was our point person between that. Like Jarrell was always the one who was sitting with Fave to make sure my wife would be happy with how she was drawn or whatever this and that, you know?
And
he really, you know, he really lost a partner in that way. But Fave was a solid dude, man. And we try to honor him.
Beautiful brother, man. Beautiful guy. Like that was my man.
But he was one of the people who, you know, you're up 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, making slight changes so that when people see it, they see the effort, they see the quality. Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the day, it just comes down to that. Like, I want you to put my album next to whoever's album, D'Angelo, Usher, whoever, Faith, whatever. I want you to put it as the best album that year. And whether it's better or not, I'm not here to say it's better. I'm here to say it's going to be of the same quality. Guess what?
It's going to be seamless.
With the same mics. We shot it with the same type of photographers. We are investing in our, and it doesn't have to be that it's a $500,000 budget. You know, guess what? We all are operating on $1 million budgets, whether we got $1 million or not. We all putting our best foot forward. Tigalero, we putting our best foot forward. You know, we challenge each other.
Even Tigalero, even that was like the way the cover art and everything, it was just, I mean, that was because at the time you were on tour or, you know, well, you had, you know, your kids and then I was on tour. So we never had a real photo shoot for that album.
Nope. But let's find a dope picture. Let's figure out a dope way to put it together that could tell a story. And to this day, I mean, it's like a minimalist, simplistic album, but it's so symbolic. And you ran point more on that one, real talk, but we are from the same place. Like these album covers tell a story and there's a reason why this picture is this way or whatever.
That was the thing. Cause I saw the joint, we had the picture and I was like, all right, well, my whole thought was, I'm like, okay, we got these pictures of us live and they did a mock-up of us like singing, you know, it was some pictures from our Chicago show at the Shrine, rest in peace. know what I mean? We did the shows at the Shrine and I cannot remember his name, please forgive me, but you know, I got some from him and he had them and I was like, all right, this is dope. and we did a couple mock-ups with my man Chris Charles. And so, but when I showed it to everyone's independent soul A&R, Butter at Soul Bounce.
Right, Butter.
Yeah, well, shout out to the Buttress and Red Velvet, Susan. But I sent her a mock-up of it, and she was like, yo, this is dope, but it looks like a live album. And I was like, oh, nah, it can't look like that. So that's when I got the idea. I was like, okay, if I drop it down where it's just our faces, like, covering over, it'll look like the King of Rock cover. You know what I'm saying? The Run DMC. And then if we put the titles on the front with the barcode, that's a callback to Urban Hang Suite.
Maxwell.
So it's like the double. It's like that to me was what Tigalero represent. I'm like, we are two hip hop dudes, like, without a doubt, but, you know, also with soul. And that shit worked.
but think of, like I said, we're taking Run DMC and Maxwell and putting it together. That is Tigalero. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like it was all planned and all well thought out. But that's the talk about, like, it ain't just, no, we ain't just throwing this together. It's putting some effort, time, and like a science behind it. And it makes sense. And every album cover I've seen you do, every song I've seen you do, it's the same effort. And I feel like the same thing we do.
Same for you, man. Nah, you level of quality. You be kicking my ass, man. I be like, damn, Arrow got another album out. Shit, I got to do something. Whatever. I'm like, man, you came to Hear From Here. I was like, damn, we ain't been in the house for 2 months. This nigga got an album already. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, like, that's because I was scared. I was like, wait, when show's getting canceled, I'm not going back to teaching. I'm like, what is happening? I was like, give me that pen real quick. Let me, you know, for me, whenever I feel, I mean that, like, music for me is like my aspirin or whatever. Like, when Fave passed, when Paris Bowens passed, when Chadwick Boseman,
yes, man.
When any of that stuff, the first thing I did was I turned the equipment on, you know? Not like, oh, it's just, that's when the pandemic started, I turned the equipment on. It's like, for me, my whole view on creativity, my whole view on art, my whole view on all of it is different. And I have an album called Music Fan First, and it means I'm the fan of it first. First thing, it's the soundtrack to my life. It's what brings me peace and what brings me ease. So on my worst day, I'm picking a pin up. On the worst day, I'm picking a guitar. Worst day. On my best day, I'm doing it as well. So yeah, it's not like I'm like, I'm racing, I'm making the first pandemic album. It's like, no, I'm going to beat everybody to the punch. It was just more like, so what's
my mortgage is due, right?
You know, who's sick? Oh, my God. Let me just write. And I just started recording. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I didn't know any better. It's crazy. I've done two albums during the pandemic, but I just couldn't stop writing. You know what I mean?
I wanted to talk to you, when you speak on as well, man. You know, I met through you, through you, Anakin and Vader, man. Ooh. These brothers are just amazing. Shout out to them. Like, those, yes, are my guys, man.
Amazing brothers, man.
Man, and you brought them on to executive produce your new album, Lessons, which is, you know, again, just great record, man. Like, just, thank, I can't, you know, top to bottom, just always consistent. How did you link up with them, and what was the decision to make Lessons kind of the first single?
So meeting them goes back a while, and this is a lesson for people just to shoot your shot, right? So, you know, now I got three kids, and usually when I do a show now, I'm catching the first thing smoking to get back home, right? So a lot of times you'll find me at the airport 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, right after the show, dog tired, walking through like a zombie. And I was at an airport, and I was just trying to stay awake. I remember I was just like trying not to fall asleep. So I was like just scrolling through Instagram, whatever I could do to keep myself occupied. And I saw somebody had tagged me on something. And the name was Anakin and Vader. And I was like, Anakin, did y'all name yourselves after Star Wars villains? That's the first thing that caught my attention. Like, as in Darth Vader, as in Anakin?
Anakin Skywalker, yeah.
I was like, that's interesting. So I clicked it because it caught my attention. And it was, sure enough, it was like Skywalker fighting Darth Vader with like a hip hop beat under it. And I was like, oh, that's dope. Okay. Next one. And then it was like Princess Leia like kissing Han Solo with like a play under it. And I was like, y'all kind of got that off. I said, that's what y'all doing? And then probably like 10, like I went through their page. I probably spent like 10 minutes on their page. And then I hit them back. I said, yo, you got my attention. What's up? And then like before the plane could take off, I remember like within 10 minutes, like it was like as if they could see that I was looking at their page or whatever. I don't know. But as soon as I said, you got my attention. What's up? A Dropbox link hit. Cling. It came right back.
They stay ready. Like Jared, bro, he would hit me like, man, I don't want to overwhelm you. Like he would send you a photo with like 100 joints and it's just like, bro, like those dudes are animals, man. Love those dudes. And
I mean, it's crazy. I was like, wait, did you just send me a Dropbox link? And then before the plane could take off, I like opened the Dropbox link, downloaded it, and I had like 5 songs written before the plane landed. Like it was just like, wow. who are y'all? And it's been a great friendship, great partnership since then. We've been working nonstop. And they sent me the Lessons track, which got to think at that point, it's not on my radar to make another album. I just did Here From Here. I'm not even like, okay, I'm kind of good. And we're kind of still in the whole pandemic. But I knew the record was like, this is a special track. This joint is killing. And, Immediately, I was like, yo, can I have it? Like, let me write a check for it, whatever. Like, what's up with this track? And he was like, yo, my bad. I did send it out, just in all transparency. I sent it out to like another artist first. Can we like just wait and see what they say first, since I just sent it to them first? Out of respect, I'm like, no problem. No problem. And then about 3 days later, they said, we haven't heard back from them. So if you still want it, shoot your shot. Most definitely still want it. And I'm going down to the studio right now. Like I'm going down and record it like before.
To remove all doubt.
Yeah, remove all doubt. And what happened was, that was interesting though, was when I went down there, now it's like 2:00 in the morning of my anniversary. Right. And I think if I had wrote the track, if I wrote to the track the first day they gave it to me, I would have wrote a different song. But I think when I went down there, you know, it's my anniversary. Okay. Man, we're still in this pandemic. It's crazy. You know, lost a few friends and yo, me and my kids, everybody healthy parents. I was like, you know, just started thinking just that while I'm just loading everything up. It was, I was just kind of thinking, you know, for me, I'm one who wants to figure out, who do I want to be in a song and try to define that person as much as possible and then just hit record. That's how, like, if I cut out all the things I don't have to say, there's only things left is this, and then just make it rhyme. And that's going to be your song. And that was it. And it just happened. I had a camera set up for something I think I did the day before in the room. And I was like, let's turn this on and let's hit record. God has a funny way of showing. And it was like, after that, it was like, and it was really like, let's transfer this to my phone, post it, go to bed. And just go to bed. I wasn't even like thinking nothing of it. And
woke up at all. Hammer,
right? And woke up to like, just what are you doing? What is this? This is crazy. Ah, you know? And it was like, oh, okay. Let's.
Might want to finish this.
We might want to finish this one up. I want to get this one done. And I probably never said this before. I probably went to bed kind of hesitant to post it because I was like, I didn't look at the beauty of like how transparent it was and how many people could relate to it. I almost was worried a little bit that it was kind of like a jab at like all the ex-girlfriends, which I didn't want it to be. Like everyone who let me down led me to you. But it is true. I mean, guess what? Every failed record deal, everything that happened in my life had to have happened for me to have the kids
to get here. Facts.
You know what I mean? It wasn't really like a, you know, guess what? I had to do that for you to be where you at too. And I think that was my last thought of the night, was kind of like, maybe tomorrow I'll change that line because that was a little heavy, you know. But then it was like, when I woke up the next day, I was like, this is my song. Oh, my song. And I was like, yeah, we're not changing that line. They just had to, had to eat that one.
All right, y'all. You know what season it is. 'Tis the season for spring breaking and planning our summer travel. And if you're like me, you're already in your Airbnb app trying to find which spot is right for you. Now listen, while I'm looking to spend all this money, what I'm not doing is thinking about making money with Airbnb. See, you got to change your mind state. Make the money while you're spending the money. How, you say, Laia, do I make the money? Well, you host at your house. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, my whole house? No, you don't have to do your whole house. I mean, you could do a room or, you know, do the whole house. So make some money while you're spending some money this summer. I'm trying to tell you, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Me and you, we was laughing about this the other day on the phone with Jared from Anakin Vader. He described us. He was like, yeah, working with y'all, man. He was like, Arrow, he's a show pony, but you a racehorse. And I was like, dude, that is so fucking, I'm like,
perfect compliment.
That's our dynamic. It's yeah, like, that's our dynamic. That is our dynamic. Like, Arrow, like, he's going to show up. He's going to be dressed to the fucking nines. Like, he's going to have the hat. Like, you know, just, you know, and that was the thing I will say. I picked up from you just kind of, you know, going out on tour and just watching you, you know, everywhere you go, you always look like Eric Robeson. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You are always like dressed to the nines. It's always, if we at damn Chick-fil-A, you know what I'm saying? A show can break out. I'm going to be ready to give a show. And, you know, and that was just something that was always you. With me, I'm just like, look, I'm showing up the day of the race. Show me who ass I'm beating. I'm running my race. I'm beating y'all niggas ass and I'm going home. I'm not staying after for autographs. I don't want to talk about the race. Like, I don't want to I did my job. You know what I mean?
But you know what's funny? Even talking about that, like, our shows, you're absolutely right. I got a hat on, a suit, a blazer at least, or something like that. And you have on a black hoodie and it worked. It worked. Right. It wasn't like, well, why he got a suit on? He got a hood. It actually, when you see the pictures, it works.
That's us.
But it's like, that might be the next album is like, you know, the show pony and the racehorse. First of all, I do take offense. I got to be a daggone pony. You know what I'm saying?
That's on Jared. Right. Why can't I be a thoroughbred or some shit?
Can't be
put
a
some respect on my name.
But I think it's show pony. If that's what I need to be, I'll be it. But once again, you talking about two, you know, three, because Anakin Vader is actually a three-man production group.
Absolutely.
Solid brothers, man. Solid brothers. Life-changing, man. Once again, you know, we can go on here and talk about so many amazing people we talk about, and we're going to miss so many names, and I apologize because I work with so many great people, but definitely, you know, meeting those guys, it's definitely made me better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definitely made me better.
Likewise.
And really dope.
Yeah. Lastly, man, I wanted to just touch on, because this is something that me and you, we talk about, you know, from time to time, but just like, you know, just for our listeners, just, man, I just wanted to talk about just, you know, how you balance just, like, I mean, you have three boys, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I have two boys. My boys, I mean, they're, you know, older now. My boys are 21 and 16, so.
Yeah.
But you have, like, you know, young kids. And I just wanted to, you know, talk to you about, like, how do you, you know, balance, you know, being in business for yourself and, you know, being a husband, being a father, and not just being a husband, father, and just like I just pay for shit and, you know, go to the basement, but, you know, actually being present, you know, being present for your family in that way. How do you manage that?
You know, first, you know, it's funny. My whole theory on balance is different, right? Like the fact there's like, there is no balance, right? Right. It's like, how do you balance it? Right. For me, we talk about the word process, right? So I practice this thing called process over product. Like everything is connected to the process. This very conversation we have right now, I can't worry about how many listeners we'll have or how in tune will people be, or was it a great interview or whatever. I can just be that, I'm talking to my brother, and how connected can I be in this conversation? Same way as songwriting, you know, it's probably strengthened through songwriting, strengthened through music. Every time I sit down and write a song, I can't think about the last song. I can't think about the successes or the failures. I can only think about what I'm doing.
Yo, bro, that's so crazy you say that. That's the same thing. Like, I take that. It was like my football coach in high school. He was like, you know, look, you got to have a bad memory. He's like, you talk about quarterbacks. He was like, quarterback, you got to have a bad memory to be a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? If you can't think about, if you fumbled on second down, hey, look, bro, that shit over with. You know, you got another down.
You also can't think about the touchdown. You can't You can't think about either of it. You got to think about the play you're doing and just put all the confidence that it will work out, whether it will or will not. That's product, right?
Because that's the only play you got.
It's the only play you got. This very second right now, this minute we talking right now, this is the only minute, right? The next minute ain't guaranteed in any form or fashion. So why not just trust this minute that we in right now, right? Like, enjoy the 60 seconds. So for me now, process over product transfers to different things. Now, how do I practice process over product with my marriage? How do I practice process and product over product in my as a parent, as with my friendships or whatever? So guess what? I mean, really, with our tour schedule, with our teaching schedule, with our studio schedule, with all that stuff like that, I mean, I respectfully can say that there's not enough time to be the best friend to every friend I have, to really be the best father, to be the best husband. I'm going to try my best to be that. What it is really, how connected can I be with you in the time that we have, right? So if I only have an hour in the studio, can I get lost in the studio for 59 minutes? I can't walk in the studio going, damn, I only got an hour. Wow, right, I don't have time. Right. It's like, no, I'm going to kill this hour I got in here. And the same thing was, I go upstairs and I know I'm leaving on Friday, but you know, I can play with the kids all day today. Let's just get lost. Like, how much can I can't worry if you're going to be a doctor or this and that, this and that. What's crazy, literally from this podcast, just before I came in to do this podcast, my kids are on spring break and I was like, man, today's busy, right? And then Wednesday's busy. And this, I looked at the schedule. So yesterday, like, I was just telling my wife, I said, I'm just taking the kids. We're going to Poconos. So I just grabbed them, threw them in the car, and we just balled out for like 24 hours. Just went to a water park and just kids stayed up to like 4 o'clock in the morning, got up, went back in the water, literally got out the water, put clothes on and drove back here just to get on this microphone and talk with you. And it's like, yo, guess what? We only had 24 hours, but guess what? We just gonna ball out for 24 hours. And that's balance, is how much can you be in tune with what time you have. Right. So
I completely relate to that. I kind of look at it like, you know, to your point, when people think of balance, they think of just like, oh, I have the exact amount of time to do this and the exact amount of time to do this. To me, in my career, balance has always kind of been more so an oscillation between two extremes, right? Yeah. So like when I'm locked in the studio, like when we was Tigolero, right? It's like, okay, I'm locked in. I just have to. It's the word that just comes to my mind always is just surrender. Like, I just have to just surrender. It's like, bro, this is not going to make no sense. I'm about to be up for like, you know, 36 hours. I'm about to like, my sleep schedule is about to be shit. I'm about to eat like shit for like a month. Like, you just know, it's just like, there's no rhyme. Like, if you try to make sense of this shit, you're lost. So you just got to give in. But then once the record is done and once the work is done, now for the next, you know, month, for the next 2 months, I'm just playing PS5 and that's it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So you kind of have those, you know, those kind of two extremes. And that has been the closest I've been able, you know, to get to balance, you know, that makes, you know, the most sense for my life. But I've always been curious as to how you manage it with all the things you have going on.
What I'll tell you is that music, and I say art in general, is the most selfish thing I've ever seen in my life. Music wants everything out of you. It wants to pull everything. It wants all your time. In a moment that, like,
and it will test you in every way.
Oh my god! Like, you already know. We had this. Guess what? The biggest show offer you're gonna have every year is your kids on your kid's birthday. A promoter's gonna call you with that bag of bags. It's gonna be on your kid's birthday.
On your anniversary,
you know,
or some
on
shit.
Your like anniversary. This is, right. You know, it's like, you know, our wives already accept Valentine's Day. Go get that money. Go get that.
Right.
But like, why does the show always have to land on their birthday? Right?
Yeah.
Or
Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, like any of those. Yeah,
it's like, but that's the test. Like, are you going to take it? Are you going to take the show? Are you, you know what I mean? And it's like, but that's this craft. And like, as soon as I'm supposed to turn the equipment off and go upstairs and kind of check in, here's the next idea pops in your head. And you're like, oh my God, that's a crazy idea. And then you turn the equipment. So it's like, it is the most, but you know.
Because like, it's elusive. Like, I think like when you say like, because I feel you. Like, when you about to go to bed and, you know, Quincy Jones is like, we had him on the show like years ago, and he was talking about just kind of that alpha state, you know, he calls the alpha state when your mind is just, you know, it's 3-4 in the morning and you're not thinking, you're just doing, you're just existing. And so it's like, you know, that 4 in the morning where you have that time and it's like, man, I really know. I know I got to get up and be in the carpool line in 3 hours, but if I go to sleep, I could lose this moment and I'll never be able to recapture it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's that elusive thing that you're chasing. And so when you catch it, it's just like, yeah, it's like catching a fucking shooting star. You're like, man, I just got to hold on to this. You know what I mean? And keep some of this magic for myself.
So I'm going to tell you what's interesting. This is what I said, my whole view on creativity is different now. And I'm one now where I can turn the equipment off in that moment, right? And it's more because I'm at the realization now, and I feel like, truth be told, and I say this before I even say this statement, I feel like my pen is stronger than ever right now, right? I
100%,
feel like this is my connection, whatever. But creativity is often we treat it like a best friend we don't deserve, right? So in a moment where we should turn the equipment off and go upstairs, it's like when it shows up, we're like, oh my God, you showed up. Hell, my wife. Hell, my kid.
right.
Come, creativity. Come on in. Have a seat. What you got to tell me? You know? And that's how I was probably that way for like the 75% of my life. Like I would leave the Christmas table. I would leave in the middle of making love.
Wow.
When the idea pops in, like, you know, softest lips. I can say now, like, softest lips happened. Like the song, the idea of the song happened while kissing somebody. And I stopped.
Wow.
I remember, like, I stopped doing what I was doing to write the song, you know?
And I've never been that devoted, Eric Rosen.
No, come on, you have been devoted. I've watched you be that devoted, you know? But what happens is, like, yo, but we have to realize that creativity needs us just like it needs. We need it. And like Quincy Jones was so worried over what was it? Was it Michael Jackson? Prince said he couldn't leave the creativity alone because he was worried they would go visit Michael Jackson. Right.
So we. Oh, yeah. Like, uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm satisfied with now telling creativity, I'm busy right now. Can you come back? That sounds crazy. Mm. That sounds crazy. But it's almost the same thing of like.
Confidence. It sounds like confidence.
But it's not just confidence. It's trust. Right. So it's like, I'll give you the analogy of this. If you call me and I was like, let's say I'm in the middle of just like a super game with my kids right now, and you called me, it was like, yo, I need to rap with you a minute. I was like, yo, all right, hold up. Give me 2 seconds. I'm in this crazy battle with my kids and this and that. We having fun, whatever. Or we in the pool. Let's say we in the pool. Matter of fact, give me a couple hours, I'm gonna call you back. You know what I mean? You're like, cool. And then I'm in the pool or whatever. And I call you back 3 hours later. And I'm like, yo, so what's up? And you're like, man, I can't even remember what I was calling you about, right? But I was like, oh, that's cool. What you up to? Now, first of all, just knowing you and we friends and we have talked, we've chopped it up, we've had deep, deep conversations. Mm-hmm. Because of who we are for each other, that next conversation might not be what you initially called me about.
100%. But it'll be some whole other shit.
It's still going to be great. See, the problem is we go into it like the quarterback still thinking about the last touchdown or the last interception. So I'm so worried about like, oh, can you remember what you was going to tell me? I can't lose it. That we not being natural. We not treating creativity like it just wants to be invited. It just want to kick it. You know what I mean? So it's like, allow creativity to show up and be what it's going to be. And guess what? Sometimes it's going, we already know, listen, sometimes it's going to be great. Sometimes it's not. How many times have we written a song and thought it was, this is the one, I'm buying my Bentley, I'm paying off the house, and it's
by my mama house, all that.
Right. And it's straight crickets, right? Off the most fire thing you thought you ever did, and it's straight crickets. And then here's this one
little
thing.
And then the one little thing you did on your phone, you put up on IG, phone, and wake up the next morning, and that shit is out of here.
Nothing of it. And now that you, this is the joint that now you got to tour for 2 years. You can't never get off stage without singing. You know what I'm saying? So why are we prejudging creativity? At the end of the day, when it shows up and you have time for it, then treat it like it's supposed to be. And if you don't, then put the time in other areas. And going back to even the balance thing, my wife has to feel seen sometimes more than 100%. Music. She has to feel like I chose music over her sometimes. My kids as well. My kids have literally been raised watching me in the studio. And sometimes they have to see me turn the equipment off for them. You know what I mean? So they have to see that. So you have to be there. And I have to trust that. Like, I feel like my music's gotten better the more I've been like, nah, let me live.
Oh man, because you got, if you don't live, you ain't gonna have shit to write about. What am I gonna sing about? Yeah, and it was, you know, and for me, it was, you know, when with your boys, you know, your boys are really young, you know what I'm saying? And for me, you know, my boy, I had, you know, kids like super young. And so it kind of worked out in a good way because when they were young and, they really just wanted to be around their mama all the time. So I was touring and stuff, you know what I mean? I was out really getting it. But then by the time they got the teenage years, that was when, you know, I kind of transitioned into FE, like we start our label. So I could actually be around for those years with like, they really, it's like, okay, no, we need dad. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of worked out for me in that way. And I was thankful to have that. But nah, man, that is really sage advice. The equipment for me, what has been my lifesaver, like that has saved me, you know, from stand up to the crack of dawn, has been just having voice notes. Like I have Emancipation triple disc albums on my voice though, because I just have to just get it down. And if I can just get that down, I'll know to come back to it. But I have to have just some kind of bookmark, and then I can cut the equipment off. But
our voice notes, if we dare shit, it's probably my biggest prized possession, as well as just the notes in my phone. Well, I'll tell you, I don't write in the studio, but I'm always writing. Like, I'm always writing. Same like, here. Always staying in shape, because I think, really, we're just trying to find the inspiration. Like, we know how to write songs, so now I'm just constantly collecting things that take my breath away. Somebody says a statement, I go, oh my God, that's crazy, right? Or just document it somewhere, see something, and like, how do I transfer that into words? So, I mean, yeah, it's like, it's endless. It's endless, just collections. And some of it I use and pull from and whatever. But yeah, we're constantly able to collect. But that does help. Like, the fact that we can document a moment. Mm-hmm. But then for me, like, when I go in the studio, it's like, how locked in can I be? You know, and then trust the product will work out. Like, you know, trust the product that it'll take care of. If I stay focused on the process, the product will work itself out.
I love it, man. Well, listen, Errol, bro, man, this has been, you know, long time coming. I guess the conversation we need to have, I didn't think we'd be having it in front of thousands of strangers on the fucking internet. But right. but nonetheless, seriously, man, I just, you know, I've told you this, you know, time and time again, but I just really just want to just thank you, you know what I mean, for just really just showing up in my life and in my career in a way that really, you know, for me, just showed me the importance of mentorship, you know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. you know, you really, just everything from the business to like the show presentation, because I mean, I was like, I'm straight rap dude. So going into R&B, I had no fucking clue what that was. I'm like, yo, what is that, you know? And you definitely were a huge, you know, mentor and model and just, you know, big homie in the whole nine, man. And, you know, my career would not be where it is, you know, without just your influence and just your guidance and just taking time just to holler at me whenever I had questions and just put me up on game. So, man, this conversation was a dream come true, brother. And I just wanted, you know, the world to hear this, you know, and just to hear your journey and, you know, really just, you know, give you that respect, man. 21 years doing this shit independently, bro. Hey, this shit would break big niggas with muscles. this shit ain't sweet, bro. So nah, man, I just want to just give you your flowers. Just thank you. I love you, man.
Appreciate it, man. You know, it's been an honor and a pleasure. It's been an honor and a pleasure to watch your dream consistently come true. You know what I mean? I think one of the pleasures that I've had is watch a lot of people's dreams come true. And you, by all, not only being one of the most prolific people I know, one of the greatest voices I know. So the voice being utilized in so many different ways. I can't tell you how proud I was just when you joined, when this Questlove Supreme and you were on it. I was like, first of all, you also are the most knowledgeable. I always say this. You're not hearing this for the first time. I've never, ever told you of a record or a producer or a song that you did not know of already. Not one time have I ever.
It was one time you got me, and it was a big one too. It was the night we went, the night we did Been in Love. Bro, I don't even know if I told you this. You were the first person to put me on to Todd Rundgren.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, like he was one of those artists I always saw his name and like I would see him. I knew who he's associated with, but I didn't really know. And so then I think you played me. I saw the light and I was like, oh my God, that's Todd Rundgren. Like I've been hearing that song forever.
Wow.
And you put me on like the We Ran Through the Something Anything album.
That's one time. That's one. Like the entire, I'm like, this joint from 1972. B-side, this record, you're like, oh, that's such and such. And that's what's the name playing the cello on it. No, that's killing. I'm like, oh my God. Here's this new indie artist I met from the Bay Area. They're killing. They selling independent records in the flea market. Oh, yeah, that's such and such and such. Yeah, I got that record.
Man, want me to link you up?
I'm like, oh my, how do you know all of this stuff? It's really mind-blowing, man. I'm going to just say this, and I got to say, you know, first of all, you know, you're my brother, and I love you, love you, love
always,
you.
Always, man, for
you
real.
You are so true to your art. You are so true to your craft, to your friendship, and to who the person, that, who you are. You know, it's so funny. You are the first person, like, to curse in front of my mom, and she didn't even, like, hesitate.
What?
Listen. You know, you are a cursor, right? It is fine. It happens from time to time. It's part of your MO. So you in like, you know, at that time my studio was in my parents' house, right? So when we did Been in Love, we met my parents, and just even with my dad, it wasn't like, oh, this is how he talked to me, and then this is how he talks to my mom and dad. It was like, no, this is how he talks, and whoever's around is going to accept this and love him. And my parents loved you. It wasn't like, who this guy you brought in our house to this potty? It was like, no, we love Fonte. Bring him as many times he wants. But it was like, I remember watching like the dynamic you talking to like my parents, and it was still the same way. It was like the MFs and the N-word, like it was all in there. And I was like, yeah, he really fired off. But guess what? It was like genuine. There's love and there's like a genuineness behind it. It ain't like I'm shock value, whatever. Like, yo, you just a true brother. You like for real, like for real, for real. Anyone who knows you know you're just a true brother, and it's like just mad. I got mad respect for you. You already know, like,
likewise.
You already
man.
Know. Anytime you call, like, yo, I need you to break dance in this video, or like sing this melody or this joint on this, like, just sing the background vocals on the joint. You know, I'm like, all right, let's do it, man. You know,
and likewise too. And everybody been asking Tigalero too. They're like, when y'all doing it yet? Like. We're gonna do it again. I would certainly love to do it the other way.
We down.
You know, it's just hopefully we can do it at a time where like people ain't dying and you having kids and
right,
like
yeah.
You know, we have more order in our life this time around. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. I'm looking forward to it. But I just need to let you know, man, I appreciate you having me on and I love you, brother, and look forward to doing more with you.
Love you too, bro, for real, man. Well, listen, on behalf of Unpaid Bill, Sugar Steve, Amir, Oscar-winning Amir, my work wife, Laia. This has been Questlove Supreme. I'm not Questlove. I'm Fontigolo. man, thank y'all so much for tuning in. We'll catch y'all on the next go-round. Tap in with Eric Robinson's The Album Lessons out right now on our platforms. Go get it. And, we'll catch y'all on the next one.
Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.